Dear congregation, with the help of the Lord, we want to preach the gospel to you. According to the psalm, we read together Psalm 45, and we pay special attention to verse 2. Verse 2. Psalm 45, verse 2. Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. Therefore, God has blessed thee forever. We try to say something. It can be only a little. How can human lips express the beauty of the King of Kings and the King of Heaven? So I try with the help of the Lord to say something about the King in his beauty. And let a prayer be now in your soul that your eyes may be opened for the first time or anew, that you may see him, that you may adore him, that you may embrace him, and that you are happy in him, looking unto Jesus, the King, in his beauty. In the first place, we try to say something about his beauty. Thou art fairer than the children of men. In the second place, something about his grace. Grace is poured into thy lips. And in the third place, something about his blessing. Therefore, God has blessed thee forever. Dear children, for you another time, your father or mother ask it to you. When you come at home, is it still in your head then? Is it still in your heart? Lord, let thy word come into my heart so that it never can go away. It's such a wonderful treasure. The word of the living God by the Holy Spirit in your heart. Unforgettable. And the Lord is speaking to you personally. You can never forget. And when your eyes are opened to see the King in his beauty, the King in his beauty, his beauty, his grace, and his blessing. Let us first sing together now Psalter 45, the verses 1 till 6. 45, the verses 1 till 6. Dear congregation, above all things we need in our life, we need love. There's only one thing which makes us really happy, love. And the lack of love makes us unhappy and lonely. You are all seeking love, isn't it? Children seek the love of their parents. And some children don't get that. Parents leave them. Young people seek the love of a girlfriend or a friend. And they go to marry. But many times it happens that it ends in misery. Love, we cannot miss it. And yet we miss it by nature. True love. Human love is nice. Human love can make us happy in some measure. For some time, but also when the ties of love are very, very well, very, very tender, we have to leave one another. And the more we love, the more we cry. This psalm is speaking of the love which makes truly eternally happy. It's a song of loves. It's not a song of love, but a song of loves. It's plural. Is there more than one love? God is love. And he who loves is born out of God, and he who not loves has never seen God. There's only one love, and yet the poet of this psalm speaks about loves. For in the Hebrew language, the plural doesn't mean only more than one, but it means also exceeding, all-surpassing, great. When in the Hebrew language you see a very, very high mountain, you say mountains. And now the psalmist sees love, an all-surpassing love, a love which makes eternally happy, a love which fills his whole being. The love of God in Christ Jesus. That's what you need. And when you miss that love, you miss everything which can you make really happy. Only divine love. And when you continue without that love in your soul, you are on the way to the place where is no love. Only hate, only divine hate against your sin. Oh, terrible place, there is no love at all. That's the eternal destruction. And is it not wonderful, congregation, that you are here together, and we are here together. By the gracious leadings of the Lord, he brought us here. Nobody is here by chance. You are lifted up to heaven to hear about that divine, eternal love. And the Lord used his word to bring that love in your heart, to break it. The song of loves. And the poet of this psalm, he is full of what he sees. My heart is inditing a good matter. The word inditing means here overflowing, bursting, boiling. It goes out. It cannot be inside. It cannot stay inside. It must go out. Everybody must hear it. I'm full of the love. I'm full of what I'm seeing. I see the love of Christ. I see the King in his beauty. Is that not wonderful? Did that ever happen in your life too? That your heart was so full with the love of Christ that your mouth was overflowing. Parents, children, did you ever hear that out of the mouth of your parents? Overflowing love, the love of Christ. Children, my heart is full of the love of Christ. Children, I see something so wonderful. I see the King in his beauty. That's what we need, to see the King in his beauty. We all like it to see beautiful things, isn't it? And what was the most beautiful thing you saw in your life? Think back in your life, in your remembrance. What was the most beautiful thing you ever saw? I remember, I was some weeks ago in Scotland, and I read the life story of an old man. He was 85. And he wrote down his life, his memory. And he wrote, I was a boy of 12 years old. And I was in a large gathering of God's people. And the gospel was preached with much power and freedom. And it was at noon. And the sun was shining brightly in the air. But from the pulpit, the Sun of Righteousness was shining far more brightly. And I saw such a beauty, such a glory, and I had such a delight in what I saw in the Sun of Righteousness, that the sun who was shining was disappearing in my eyes. Jesus, the Sun of Righteousness, to see him. Maybe you say, how can we see him? He is not here. He is in heaven. You are wrong. You are wrong. He is here. Where two or three are gathered in my name, I shall be in the midst of them. He is here. In his word, he is speaking to us. He is showing himself to us. But when we don't see him, what's the reason? The reason can be that we are still dead. A man who is spiritually dead never can see anything. A man who is spiritually dead can see people. Can see nature, can see playing, can see football. He can see everything of this world, but he cannot see the beauty, the King in his beauty. And yet, when you are still blind, when you are still dead, and then you must say, I never saw the King in his beauty. The eyes of my soul has never been opened that I could see him. It's a great privilege that you are here. I pray in your heart, Lord, open my eyes. Give life to my soul, that I may see the King in his beauty. The poet has all reason to be full of the Lord Jesus. for he is actually seeing him. When he is making this psalm, the beauty of the King of Heaven is in his sight, is in his soul, and fills his soul totally, so it will be in heaven. When we are on the way to heaven, dear congregation, the Lord grant us sometimes a foretaste. Precious moments, unforgettable. When we see nothing, then Jesus only. When we have nothing, then Jesus only. And then we have enough. For time and eternity, you have enough. May you have Jesus. His love in your heart, your eyes fixed on him, seeing the King in his glorious beauty. So it shall be in heaven, eternally full of this heavenly King, this blessed Savior, who makes you happy, who gives you love, divine love, which endureth forever and ever. So we see something of his beauty. In this psalm, the poet compares the King with the children of men. That's what he is saying by the Holy Spirit. Thou art fairer than the children of men. Are the children of men beautiful? They are. It are creatures of God, the crown of his creation. And God saw all what he made, and it was very good. A man is beautiful. You must see yourself in three mirrors to understand this very well. In the first place, you must see yourself in the mirror of creation. And then you are beautiful. We are all embodied in Adam and in Eve. We are one body with them. Whole mankind is one body in our first parents. And when God created us, we were full of his love. We were endless happy, perfect happy. There was no blame, no fault. Our eyes were full of love glancing. Our whole heart was full of love to our Creator. And all what he did and all what he taught, and all what we wanted, it was only for him. He was our goal. Beautiful. Thou art fairer than the children of men. Wait a minute. And I try to explain you that, something of that. But not now. Keep in your remembrance that ever in creation, the King in his beauty, compared with the children of men, is far more fairer, far more beautiful. And pray that your own eye that may see, the eye of your soul, that he fulfills you with his love. When we see mankind in another matter, mirror, the mirror of the holy law of God. Did you ever see in that mirror yourself? Then there is no beauty at all. Physical beauty, yes. But no spiritual beauty. It's awful. It's terrible. Thou art fairer than the children of men. The king in his beauty, without any sin. And you and I, in the sight of the holy law of God, only sin. Horrible, hopeless, filthy, in your thoughts, in your wishes, in your words, in your deeds, in everything. How can such a king have communion with such a filthy sinner as you are? He is much fairer, far more fairer than the children of man. Yes, when you see yourself in that mirror, then it seems so impossible, isn't it? That a holy God can look upon me in grace, and that a holy God can see beauty in me. There is no beauty. But when you see yourself in the mirror of Christ, when you went over from death into life, when you truly believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you receive the full righteousness and holiness of Christ as your own. And then you are beautiful. I see no sin in my Jacob, no iniquity in my Israel. Did you see yourself so? By that wonderful grace of true saving faith, yourself seeing in Christ, that's the most beautiful sight a man can receive in his life. Christ in me, and I in him, and all what he is, and all what he did, and all what he has, he gave it me. He makes you so happy. And yet, the poet is saying, thou art fairer than the children of men. Let us try to look unto the King in his beauty. What can we say about that all-surpassing beauty? You never can say it till the moment that you can see him. A blind man can know a lot, can hear a lot, can understand a lot, but he never can see the reality. We need the light of the Holy Spirit so that we can see the King in his beauty. O Lord, reveals thy beauty to my soul at this very moment. That's the reason that you are in his house this morning, to hear this, so that there comes an unspeakable love in your heart for that beautiful King, so that you forget everything for his name's sake, and that you follow him and love him, believe in him, and be with him. O Lord Jesus, open my eyes so that I may see thy beauty. How beautiful is this King in his divine nature. For the King who hung on the cross, the King of the Jews, is the creator of heaven and earth. He is altogether beauty in his divine nature. Did you see him yourself, congregation, in his divine nature? Was your heart ever filled with the deep impression that that blessed Savior is God himself? What are people saying of me? The Lord Jesus asked to his disciples. What are they saying? Well, they say you are a prophet. Others say you are Elijah. But you, what are you saying? And then it sounded, a sweet sound. Thou art the Son of the living God. Thou art the Son of the living God. And Peter saw his beauty, his divine beauty. And how do we need to see that? Do you see that wise man coming from the east? They traveled a long journey. And they were asking and looking, where is the king? Where is the newborn king? For we want to see him and to worship him. Do you have that desire too? Is that the reason that you came this morning in God's house? To see the king? To meet him? To experience his love? His forgiving love? To experience the fulfillment of his promises in your own heart? To have a real meeting with the king in his beauty? There was a blind man. You know the story, maybe, of course, you know the story. He was blind. And I told you already, a blind man can imagine himself a lot. But he cannot see anything. He never sees the reality. And that man was blind born. That's hard. And then the Lord Jesus healed him. On the Sabbath. And then he went away. And the leaders of the people, the Pharisees, scriptures, they rejected him. That cannot be a prophet of God. He breaks the Sabbath. Blind man who led the blind. They knew the Lord Jesus, they met him, they saw him physically, but they said he is not a prophet of God. Blind, no love, no unity, nothing. The dead. Religion, hard religion, false religion. Ah, the devil has religion enough. The true religion. And then the Lord Jesus sought him and met him. And then came the question, do you believe in the Son of God? And what was his answer, children, do you know? His answer was, who is it, O Lord, that I may believe? And then the Lord Jesus said, it is me who is speaking with you. And then his eyes were immediately opened for the divine glory and beauty of the King. And he said, I believe. And he worshipped him as God. Did you ever worship the Lord Jesus as God? Not only theory, knowledge, what you learned, but what you saw by the revelation of the Holy Spirit in the preaching of Christ in his beauty. Did you ever worship the Lord, the King, in his beauty? then your heart is full of him. Full of that beauty. Full of that divine glory. Full of that divine Savior. O Lord, make us full of thee, that our hearts may be overflowing and our mouth is speaking, that we are winning our neighbors, and they can feel it comes out of the heart. It's the fountain of life. It's going out of the heart of the believer. Somebody who sees the King in his beauty. When we see the King in his human nature, that's such a wonderful, amazing thing. Unspeakable. Ununderstandable. That's such a mystery. That God is manifested in the flesh. And that a child, Jesus Christ, the crying baby, and that a young boy, 12 years old, the young boy, and that a man of suffering is God himself in our flesh, the mystery of godliness is great. God is manifested in the flesh. You say, I know that. I learned that. I believe that. But now I ask you, did you ever see it? And was your heart filled with that mystery that God himself came to you in your flesh and blood to save you, to bring you back to God? Oh, then you see the King in his beauty. But something of that wonderful matters are reality. And you see it by the revelation of the Spirit. Oh, how beautiful is this King in his love. The love of Christ that surpasses all knowledge. Did you see the love of Christ? Not in general only, but the love of Christ for your own soul, that he came from heaven and went for you to the cross and took away all your sins and came in your heart and changed your life and make you ready for eternal glory. Is he not beautiful? Thou art fairer than the children of men. No man can save you. No man can fill you. But this blessed King can save you and fill your soul and life into all eternity. Thou art fairer than the children of men. Do you see him, congregation, in his heavenly glory, where he is sitting at the right hand of the Father? Where he took his place after he merited everything by his death. But we see Jesus crowned with majesty and glory. Do you see him? Oh, let that be our continually prayer, Lord. May I see thee at the right hand of the Father, having all might and power. Reigning everything, ruling everything, bringing everything to his mighty goal, to his perfect goal. When we see Jesus, the King, in his beauty, then we see the reality. When we look to the earthly kings and rulers, we see only foolishness. They reject the King. They go their way. They have their might. But they have nothing. There's only one King who is reigning. Christ at the right hand of the Father. How blessed we are when we really see the King in his beauty, preparing place for all strangers in the world. for all the pilgrims on their way to him, for all that people of all nations and times united in his love, one goal, one desire, one faith. I believe one Catholic Church, and that church is always growing. And oh, what a blessing when that church grows today, when children are blessed and see the King in his beauty, when our young people today are blessed and see that marvelous King in his beauty, and then we are drawn irresistibly to him in the desire to know him, to follow him, to belong to him. Because we see that without Christ, there is no life. There is nothing but a lost eternity. People try to fill their time with a lot of things, but they lose everything. And when you see the King in his beauty, and he lives in your soul, and you live in him, then you have everything what you need for time and eternity. All the King in his beauty. Thou art fairer than the children of men. Congregation, that asks a choice. For shall it be well with us on our journey to eternity, we must fully agree with what here is written. When saving faith is in our soul, there comes an agreement. There comes a unity. Then we say it with all our heart. Yes, that's true. Thou art fairer than the children of men. Thou art the most beloved one of my soul. Thou art the savior of my life. Thou art the King of my life. Yes, O Lord, thou art fairer. The choice is made. Is it true? Is the choice made? Is Christ precious for you? Above all creatures? Above everything? Or do you have something what is fairer in your sight, in your heart, in your feelings? Then you are lost. Then you are not saved. Then you are on the broad way to hell. Then you must turn. Then you must change. And by his almighty power, he changes you. He opens your eyes. He opens your heart. Thou art fairer than the children of men. That's what all the people of God in our midst by grace can say. Yes, Lord, when I have to lose my wife, thou art fairer. When I have to lose my child, thou art fairer. When all people shall leave me, it doesn't matter. When I have thee to my goal, to my God, and to my Savior, thou art fairer than the children of men. In the second place, we consider something of his grace. For the psalmist is continuing and teaches, grace is poured into thy lips. The poet is looking and focused on the lips of the King. The King is in this psalm also the bridegroom, but in this part of the psalm is emphasized that he is the King. That's what he must do. Looking unto his lips. For grace is poured into his lips. Grace. Is there any word which is more wonderful and precious than the word grace? In this one word, grace is a full salvation, is an eternal happiness, and is total forgiveness. Grace is poured in his lips. That's all what we need. Grace. It's the opposite of merits. What we deserve by our sins is only eternal destruction. There is no hope on our side. And when the Lord teaches us in a saving way, we see that and we feel that. There is a hopelessness, a total unworthiness at my side. There is no possibility. What I do, what I try, all my works, they are full of sin. All my righteousness, they are as filthy rags. But there is grace, wonderful grace, eternal grace, saving grace, overflowing grace, abundantly grace for the chief of sinners. There is grace for your soul. How great your sins may be, how deep fallen you are, how impossible it is at your sight, there is grace, saving grace, in his lips. Look on his lips, for there is grace poured in his lips. When? I think that grace is poured in his lips from all eternity. In the council of peace between God the Father and God the Son, in the communion of the Holy Spirit, in that wonderful council of the triune God regarding our salvation, from all eternity, there is an abundance of love and grace in the heart of God for lost children of Adam, for lost children of man. Grace is poured in his lips. That grace is poured in his lips when he took his human nature, and then he received the Spirit without measure, so that there is an almighty power and love in the man Jesus Christ to save us, to fill us with divine love. Especially that grace is poured in his lips when he took the cup of suffering on his lips. When he prayed, "Remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." Cup on his lips, full of the righteous anger of an holy God. For grace is not for nothing. Grace is paid for a high price, the price of the dead of the Son of God in our nature. And he underwent and drank that cup to the last drop. And who can express and who can understand what that means? The eternal anger against the sins of a number of people which no one can number. And he took the cup on his lips, and by his merits we receive grace. From his lips poured in his lips. His lips go open. And out of his mouth, overflowing, flowing love, grace, wonderful words, words of grace, which sounds this morning in our midst, in his command, a command to repent, to convert, repent, for the kingdom of God has come near. That's grace, that there is repentance, that there is deliverance, that's his command. And the words from his lips are with divine power coming in the hearts of lost sinners. Did you experience that? The power of his word, the grace of his lips, in sweetly invitations. Come unto me, all you are heavy laden. Come unto me to be saved, to be relieved from your sins, to be made a partaker of the kingdom of heaven. Come unto me. Everything is in me what can save you or make you eternal happy. But I have nothing, Lord. I have nothing but sin. That's right. You need not to have anything. He doesn't expect anything. Grace means he gives everything. He is everything. He cares for everything. Grace is free. Grace is wonderful. By grace you are saved. Grace is poured in his lips, and it comes out of his lips, and it comes in your heart, and changes your heart and life. Grace. To make the dead alive. Lazarus, he was dead. He was in the tomb. He was smelling already. Lazarus, come out! And he came out. Grace from his lips. To forgive you. To bring the peace of God in your soul. My peace I give unto you. My peace I love you. I leave unto you. Not like the world gives it to you. I give it to you. Grace to strengthen you in all your afflictions and problems. Grace to make you ready for your heavenly heritage and habitation. Grace to be made free from addictions, from all the powers of sins and hell. Such a wonderful grace poured in his lips, are overflowing out of his lips. Also this morning, Christ is in the midst of us, and he shows his glory, and he shows his grace. And let it be our desire and prayer, congregation. O Lord, fill my heart with thyself, with thy divine glory, with the wonders of thy grace, that thy grace may fill me, that thy grace may lead me, that thy grace may bring me at home. Grace abounding, for the chief of sinners hang on his lips, for there is grace abundantly. No one needs to be despair. No one is too bad. No one has too much sin. Grace conquers everything. Grace abounding out of the lips of our blessed Savior, the King in his beauty. Let us sing together now. Psalter 193, verse 1 till 6. 193, verses 1 till 6. In the third place, we consider his blessing. Therefore, God has blessed thee forever. God blesses the work of his Son. Because grace is poured in his lips, grace merited by him, flowing out of him, goes out into the whole world and comes this morning in our midst unto you. Blessed. How do you leave this church within some time? Blessed or cursed? It's one of the two. For we see in the preaching of the gospel always a separation. The word of the preaching did no profit to them because their unbelief. That's terrible. That's the most terrible thing on earth, to hear the gospel and to believe it not. To hear from heaven and have no desire to be there. To hear from hell and have no fear to come there. That's unbelief. That's terrible. That's the greatest sin. And yet, God has blessed thee. The gospel coming out of the lips of Christ is coming out also out of the lips of his servants. We beseech thee, for Christ's sake, be reconciled with God. We are an ambassador of Christ. We are coming with his word, and we beseech thee. He has no lust in your death, but in your life. And he is mighty, the king in his beauty, to save you, to deliver you, to fill you, to make you eternally happy. God has blessed thee. His kingdom is coming. It's true. Many people go away. Many people don't longer want to hear him. But yet his word is blessed. Paul preached the gospel to many, many people. And thereafter he said, and so many believed as were chosen to eternal life. God will bless thee. The gospel shall be blessed. It comes into your heart and you become broken. The word to touch you. And you become a new creature in Christ. Your life and your heart turns to the Lord. The blessing of this psalm becomes reality in your heart and life. and you cannot understand. Wherefore I? Grace is poured out in his lips. Therefore, God has blessed thee. Eternal blessings. Eternal love. That's what you need. So he began. Eternal love. Eternal blessings. Reconciled with God. By faith in Christ Jesus. Seeing the King in his beauty. Living out of his grace. Blessings forever. So ends this beautiful psalm. I will make thy name to be remembered in all generations. Do you hear? Children, it's for you too. All generations. Do you hear, young people? The grace of Christ is for you too. Christ is working. Christ is blessing. We live in the time of blessing. Christ is preaching his word to us. All be aware that you may receive it. Let it be your prayer and your longing. O Lord, upon me, in me, come in me, O blessed Savior, that I may see the King in his beauty. Here, partly, sometimes it can be so dark in the life of God's people. Sometimes we have to say with Job, when I go forwards, I don't see him. When I go backwards, I cannot see him either. O Lord, where art thou? But always he comes back to reveal himself, especially at the end of your life, your last day, when you saw the King in his beauty, and then he filled your life and heart. My life is Christ, my dying gain. Therefore shall the people praise thee forever and ever. For that's the goal, the praise and the glory of God. And there is a number which no one can number already in heaven. Here they saw the King in his beauty and left everything for him, everything but dung, for the knowledge of Christ Jesus. And they follow the Lamb, and they got their wish. And their number is growing, growing everywhere. Where the lips of Christ Jesus go open, the word is coming in the hearts of lost sinners in a saving, irresistible, powerful way. And let it be our prayer, O Lord, also in my soul, so that I may belong to thee and live with thee, and then eternally see the King in his beauty. And they saw nobody but Jesus in the throne of God. That's what Stephen said. I see Jesus at the right hand of God. He was still here, but now he is still there, where the church glorified shall be fulfilled with the beauty of the King into all eternity. Oh, that no one of us shall be missed by unbelief. May the Lord bless his word. Amen. Let us pray together now. O ever blessed Savior, we thank thy holy name that thou enabled us to say something, very little, of thy beauty. For we need perfection, we need eternity, to see thee in thy fullness. We cannot bear it thee here, for when thy servant John saw thee, he was as dead. But thou put thy right hand on him, and thou said it, I have been dead, but now I live. O living Savior, live in each of us. Let the blessings of thy lips come in the hearts of each, of children and young people, everyone. Nobody can miss thee. Lord, we thank thee for all thy mercies and asked the pardoning of all our sins, also in this service. Bless our meeting after the service, also the teaching of the children and our meeting together, and bring us faithfully back in the night, in the evening of this day, to hear another time thy glorious gospel, thy everlasting love, for we have never enough here. Satisfied we shall be at thy right hand in thy glory, where thou preparest place for all thy people. And we shall be filled with thy love forever and ever. Lord, we thank thee for thy goodness, for thy grace, for all the blessings bestowed upon us. Hear us only for the Redeemer's sake. Amen.